Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. So, something happened this weekend that I don't know if it's ever happened before in the history of sports. And unfortunately, my heart couldn't couldn't take a portion of it. And what happened, I don't know if you guys put this together. This was wild. There were, in a span of about 30 hours this weekend, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven game sevens in sports.
Yeah, I noticed.
In about 30 hours.
There was a ESPN put a tweet out heading into Saturday where it was like three today, four tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. On Saturday, there were three NHL game sevens. Bruins knocked out, by the way. That's kind of cool. On Sunday, there were two NHL game sevens. Penguins knocked out, by the way. That's also cool. Although the Rangers came back from a 3-1 hole to win that series, which is impressive. And yesterday, of course, there were also two more NBA game sevens. Bucks get knocked out. Suns shockingly get knocked out. So seven game sevens in about 30 hours. Now, let me just address this aspect of the basketball stuff. I don't know about you guys. Tell me where your mind and heart was. I could not watch. I actively chose not to watch the NBA. I needed a break. I was feeling too much pain from that Sixers thing. I'm sure I'll get back into it in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. I had thoroughly enjoyed the NBA playoffs at large. The other series, whatever it's called, before the Sixers got eliminated. My heart this weekend had no interest to watch Game 7 yesterday, Bucks Celtics or Game 7 Mavs Suns. My heart needed a break.
Sure.
No,
couldn't do it. Also, I felt downtrodden. It hurt. It's too raw.
Too raw.
Too new.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to see other teams achieve and move on to the next round and celebrate and all that when we're
no interest.
Home.
Seltzer, could you rev it up or what
so,
was your deal?
So I wasn't that interested in Bucks Celtics because it felt, you know, like that could have been the game we were watching to see where we were playing type of thing.
Yep.
But I did jump in on Suns Mavs, and actually it had the reverse effect because I saw the Suns no show even worse than the Sixers, and I was like, oh, it's not just us.
Well, so here's the irony to that. I actually, having not seen the games, but of course knowing all the results, I walked away from that feeling both a positive and a negative on the Sixers. Now, hear me out and tell me if this stuff vibes with you. The negative, of course, is that there was ample opportunity for the Sixers to actually win the title.
That was my first
thought. If they could have beaten the Heat, I mean, it's not like the Sixers can't beat the Celtics. And obviously the team with the best record in basketball from the West just got eliminated. It's wide open. I mean, it's wide open. The NBA is probably as wide open right now as it's been at any point since the late 1970s when it was like a different team would win every year. And then Magic and Bird came in, and they were like, all right, it's our time. And then Jordan did his thing, and it's his time. And then Shaq and Kobe did their thing, and it was their time. And then Duncan was sprinkling in championships. I mean, the bottom line is, and then LeBron, of course, had his time, and it was Steph and the Warriors. Like, big picture, the NBA is as wide open right now as it's been in years. So the flip side of the negative, which was a massive blown opportunity, is you can make the case as you look ahead to next year that the league is so wide open that if the Sixers can just get their freaking act together, they can actually break through and win one of these things. As, by the way, the Bucks did last year. It goes to show how much it can kind of go in a million directions. John, the positive, James, the positive, the negative, which of those hits you more this morning, that there's still massive opportunity? Because there's clearly no true juggernaut. I mean, I never thought Phoenix was a true juggernaut. The negative being, my God, they could have won a title in a month. I just couldn't take it. I couldn't watch it anyway.
Look, I think you underestimate the Celtics.
They can't be that good, though.
They
don't have that many good players. They really don't. Every time Marcus Smart shoots the ball against the Sixers, I say good because it's probably not going in.
Do you know how tough?
Seriously, every time, James. He's not a very good offensive player.
I definitely felt the negative more. I definitely, as much as I agree with you and I am hopeful when I can think about the future, that it feels so wide open this year. All four of the teams left feel so beatable. I feel that more.
Look, I've seen the Sixers beat these teams this year.
Sure.
And it felt like, we have a chance moving forward if we can turn –
garbage into gold.
We were told by Daryl Morey. We were told by Daryl Morey.
Where's your mom when you need
he
it?
Has flexibility right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, I don't know how you can say that this is flexible with the way we're situated. I'm assuming that means he's going to try to turn Tobias Harris into like three guys.
Probably he'll try. Yeah.
So if he can turn Tobias Harris into three guys who are all good.
But what if they're not all? They're not all going to be good.
Well,
that's the hope. You're not going to get three good
guys.
That's
the challenge. Yeah. You need to try to figure out a way to make that happen. And if he's able to do that, which will once again feel like an upset by Daryl Morey, then I agree with you.
Well, look, we'll take your reaction on all this. 215-592-9494. I mean, first off, fundamentally, could you even get into watching these other games? I couldn't. I needed a break from the NBA. And also, the positive or negative that you take away from how wide open the NBA is. Do you see it more as a positive or a negative as it pertains to the Sixers and what just happened last week? 215-592-9494. And that's not to shortchange the Phils in any way, because they had a heck of a series and a great week and a lot of Phillies baseball. So we're going to get to the Eagles this segment as well. Let's talk to Bob. Bob, you're on WIP.
Fellas.
Bob.
What's up, Bob?
Good to hear from you. I'm down at Bethany, and we lost a lot of sand, but here I am listening to you guys.
Thank you, man.
Thanks.
First thing is, I want to say I'm one of nine kids, so I am a blue-collar Delco guy, but I had a white-collar job. So my point about the Philly coaches is this. Last night, I was with a whole bunch of folks here, and they said, why the hell are you a Philly fan? And I said, because I want our Philly coaches to be passionate and want to win. Mm-hmm. So I have one, I'm sorry to say, one coach left, and it's the Eagles. I want them to win, so I want Girardi to get the Phillies to be competitive until we get to September.
Well, listen, how about through September? How about to October? And the reality is, Bob, the Phillies are finally playing some better baseball. Took a while, but they did have a good week, and we're hoping that this is signs that they've turned the corner. We really
I'm
are.
There. I'm there, and I God would be wonderful if he would bless us with an October.
Can you imagine that? It would be beautiful. All right, a red October again. Bob, give me a movie you'd like to see a sequel about.
I'd like to see Armageddon with Liv Tyler again.
Armageddon. I don't know about that, John. I mean, they've saved the world.
You don't want to follow Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler after, see what happens with those two young rascals?
Not really.
It's kind of a stretch.
The world is saved and Bruce Willis is dead.
Yeah, it's like, what are the odds it happens again?
Right.
It's a whole new natural disaster.
That was like a 1 in a billion chance that meteor or whatever would be heading hurtling.
Armageddon's a bad answer.
Yeah.
It doesn't have much teeth in Armageddon, too. Let's go to Derek right now in Paoli. Hello, Derek.
What's up, Joe? John?
How are you,
Derek?
Hey, pal.
Yo, this is my question for you. Hmm. So if they don't you have more confidence in Doc Rivers than you do Daryl Morey?
No.
No? So when you hear Daryl Morey talk and you hear Doc Rivers talk, like you don't sense a difference in their confidence and their knowledge of sports?
I think, listen, I'm not as in love with Daryl Morey as a lot of people around here had been, but I think he is better at his job than Doc Rivers is at his job.
Like, for me, when I hear Daryl Morey talk, I just feel like he's like a dude that, like, went to college, you know, has some
qualifications. Well, his sound is horrible. He's got a sound that is different than Howie's, but it's got an irritating there's an irritation to listening to Daryl Morey speak. Sort of the way we get irritated when Howie speaks, sort of how we get irritated when Josh Harris speaks, just with the sound of the voice. It's an irritating voice.
I mean, I kind of like Doc Rivers. I'm not saying he's the greatest coach, but I would rather have a coach that got a little bit more confidence in their self and some knowledge of the game. So I got one more point, then I'm going to go ahead.
Sure.
So you know how, like, you see how, like, Phoenix just went down the drain last night?
Yep.
So when you got players like Chris Paul, even like James Harden and all that, like, does it bother you that these guys are going to the Hall of Fame as, like, first ballot Hall of Famers? And
some of them.
Michael
Jordan
was a first ballot.
Yeah, well, Derek, let me address that. The NBA, it's not the NBA, the Basketball Hall of Fame's a farce. Guys like Jordan should consider not even going because they have lowered the standard so much. It's just the whole thing's a joke. I mean, it is, they should break the Basketball Hall of Fame up into two sections. You should go into the Hall of Fame, you turn right for the players that truly deserved it, and you turn left for the players that didn't deserve it. Because there are so many people in the Basketball Hall of Fame that don't deserve it. It's a joke.
Yeah, like Chris Paul, he had a good career, but did he have a great career?
I would put Paul in, but, I mean, I'll give you for instance, Del Harris just made the Hall of Fame. Del Harris. Huh? Yeah, right. Del Harris. I was at the Final Four. They rolled out, here are the people going to the Basketball Hall of Fame this year, and Del Harris was on the floor. I'm thinking, what in the world? Why is Del Harris going in the Hall of Fame? The whole thing's a farce.
One more.
Go ahead, Derek.
Did you hear Michael Irvin talking about the Eagles could have a dynasty if they get the football in the right person's hand? Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
Yes.
Yeah, they played it on Angelo this morning. So.
All right, we'll deploy that audio. Derek, anyway, give me a movie you want to see a sequel of.
I'll go back in the day and say Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, you got it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I would love a Beetlejuice sequel.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right, so Seltzer, we can figure this out. A three-way coin flip. How we doing it? Because I got the Eagles schedule in front of me, and we got to do the win-loss, win-loss, win-loss thing as we go around, you know, the three of us. Now, if there's two people, it's an easy coin flip. We got to figure out who's going to get the first game. What's the method here,
Let's
James?
Let's just go alphabetical order.
Nah, but that can be predetermined. I'm D, you're R, James is S. Is that it,
so
John?
You go first.
James?
I go second.
I'm
Jimmy
fine with
goes
that.
Third.
All right. I don't care.
Alphabetical order. We'll do the Eagles schedule in a moment. Let's go to the phones right now. But we're going to find out how many wins collectively our show has the Eagles getting as we go around the horn, dare I say, coming up in a second with the Eagles schedule.
And you can lock this in because it has been eerily accurate.
Oh, has it?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm guessing. I have no idea. No, I seem to think that we go over the top with enthusiasm at times.
Well, I know
this.
One year.
I mean,
we
I
did.
Remember. I in remember one year where yeah. you guys had them winning every game. Every game that you picked was a win.
Yeah, well, I was probably right. Who knows? Let's go to our buddy Black Gritty in Glassboro. Hello, Black Gritty.
What up, guys? First of all, enjoy these Phillies because they have a personality and a style, and it's hitting and it's runs, and it's the funnest thing in baseball. So get behind the team. We can make some moves to trade that line, fix up the bullpen.
Yes.
I believe when the summer gets hot, these bats going to be on fire. So get with it because that's all we got right now.
I'm with you, Black Gritty. I
yeah,
agree.
Real.
Yeah,
real.
You're right. This team does have we have bemoaned the Phillies for their lack of personality for the last couple of years, and now they do kind of have a little bit of a vibe going on.
At least you know what they're about. Like
yeah.
you know the team. Like when they always say, "Oh, Broad Street Bully," and all this kind of stuff. Like this team hits. This team gets runs. That's something.
Yep.
So that's what we have.
Yep.
And if I hear one more person tell me about hope in the 76ers. We are a clown show. You want to talk about the Suns falling apart? Well, at least they made a Western NBA Finals. The Bucks made a final.
Sure did.
The Heat made a finals. Like, within the last 10 years, Lucas made it to a Western Conference final. And he's like a baby. Like, everybody.
He also doesn't even have much else on his team. It's a real accomplishment.
Imagine what the difference is having Kidd versus the other coach. It's the same exact team. But you put Kidd on there and Dinwiddie, and now they're in the Western Conference Finals, and we've got Glenn Rivers. The guy just said he doesn't mind Glenn Rivers, but losing his coach in NBA history, give me Sam Cassell, give me Jay Wright, give me anybody. Two of the people on Brett Clown's staff are doing pretty well in the NBA right now, but we couldn't retain the people that we had because, you know, the process.
So, hold on, you're saying Emeka Udoko, and who's the other one?
Forget his name right now because I'm so mad. The process gets you to the second round. We all know now what the process is. When all these other teams that you're saying, oh, it's anybody's league, you're looking Luka Doncic's eyes and telling me we can beat that. I don't think we can. You look down there at Giannis and think, like, I don't think so. Then you got to deal with KD and Kyrie and whatever else coming up with that. And then the Celtics, you don't believe in the Celtics? You don't believe in Jason Tatum is coming for somebody's head? Jason Tatum is what Devin Booker
well, Tatum,
Devin Booker
yeah,
was
Tatum, Tatum's great. Tonight. Tatum's great. My point is, I don't believe in that team. Look, they might win the championship. Don't get me wrong. It just goes to show it's a pretty wide open league right now. I don't think the Celtics are truly great. They're obviously really good. It's impressive what they've done.
I'm just saying better than us because what do we
well,
have?
Of course
right
it's
now?
Better. Of course it is. Of course it is. Look, they did something. They did something the Sixers would not have done. They won Game Six in Milwaukee to force Game Seven. I mean that was really impressive what they did.
I love Joel Embiid with all my heart. This year he is my MVP. I love Joel Embiid. But guess what? This dude was playing video games in Cameroon. His dad kicked him out of the house and said, go play basketball. Luka Doncic was playing basketball at 4 years old, killing grown men at 15. Giannis was in a crap hole of life and had to dig his way out. And basketball is only that he brought his whole family with him. So there's hunger in some people's eyes around this league right now, and the youth. And we don't have the guy that does that. Our guy is still crying in hallways, playing video games, trolling people. And unless Maxey becomes Superman, we are still in so much trouble because we have no more assets.
Yeah, the asset thing's a problem. All right, Black Gritty, give me a movie you'd like to see a sequel of.
The movie we don't talk about, brother. Fight Club. First thing about it, we don't talk about Fight Club. That club, there's a why they ended it where it should be set up for a sequel.
All right. We got you, Fight Club. You got it, man.
I love that movie.
All right. So it is a good movie. I didn't like it as much as some people loved it, but I liked it. I mean, I just thought some people overrated it. All right. So I got the first pick here. We'll go through the Eagles schedule one by one. We're going to find out what the show record is, something we do on an annual basis around here. I got the first pick week one, Sunday, September 11th at the Detroit Lions. I was a little surprised the Eagles are only a 4.5-point favorite. It should be a higher spread. I'm going with the W for that. Eagles win. They're 1-0. John Ritchie, you're up next. Eagles are home Monday night home Monday night football against the Minnesota Vikings.
Man, I think they win three out of these first four.
Not asking for three out of four. I'm asking the Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings.
Three Eagles. I'll go win.
Why? Was this peer pressure?
Yeah.
Good.
To some degree.
No, hold on a second. What do you really think is going
to
happen?
I don't know what to expect from the Vikings. They got a new offensively minded head coach who's never been a head coach before. I like Kirk Cousins more than you do.
By the way,
I don't think he's a world beater.
Yeah, we also have 17 games to go through, so we're not looking for a breakdown of every game. Who do you really believe is going to win the game? That is what I'm asking.
I think it helps a lot that we're at home, so I'll give us the nod.
All right,
but
John Ritchie,
it's going to be a competitive
believer game. In the Eagles, has them 2-0. Seltzer, week three, the Eagles are at Carson Wentz and the Washington Redskins. That's a short week. Obviously, off the Monday night game.
Well, I'm happy I got this one because I have some serious analysis on this one. This is my 41st birthday. They're not losing to Carson Wentz on my birthday,
wow.
So it's a win.
All right. The reason is a little questionable. But
it's a great reason.
Week four, the Eagles come back. They play Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jags, that young quarterback. I'm giving the Eagles a victory October 2nd. That means to this point they are now 4-0.
Jeez.
John, you get week five. All October right. 9th, they're in the desert at Arizona.
I think it's a loss.
Okay, John has them losing. John, clearly not a believer in the Eagles. James, week six, the Eagles, they're home. It's Sunday night football versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I think they're going to split with Dallas, and I think the one on the Christmas Eve after the third straight road game is a stone-cold loss, so I'll give them a win here.
Give them a win, dog, on that one. The Eagles are at this point now 5-1. Bye week.
Let's go. Super Bowl calls.
Super Bowl calls. Plus, this is the bye week. It times up really well because that's the same week the Phillies are going to win the World Series. Late October.
Oh, this is so perfect.
No, this is really good. You look at the schedule, October 30th, they're back with their seventh game. So the Phillies will literally win the World Series after the Eagles have beaten Dallas. It's a beautiful thing.
What a time for us.
And by the way, Joel Embiid will be back. He's healthy. The Flyers will somehow have 550 goal scorers. It's going to be incredible. All right. The seventh game is at the Pittsburgh Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a 1 o'clock game. Who's their quarterback, John?
Wait, is it at the Steelers?
Trubisky or
Pickett? Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It's home versus Steelers. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was looking at the Steelers logo and I look at the at sign.
Pickett or Trubisky?
I'm going to give the Eagles a W. Eagles now are up to 6-1 as they turn to John Ritchie. They're at the Houston Texans. This is a Thursday night game on the road, short week.
There's no way they lose to the Texans.
Lock it in. Another victory. James Seltzer, the Eagles are home against Carson Wentz November 14th.
What a joy. I get to pick against Carson Wentz twice. It's really the dream. That's a win.
All right. That's
so we've now swept the commies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, obviously.
And also the Eagles are 8-1.
Yes!
And you know what happened the last time the Eagles were 8-1?
They won the Super Bowl, Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Now we've got a Sunday game at the Indianapolis Colts. This is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I will give the Eagles a loss to Matt Ryan, Jonathan Taylor, and the Indianapolis Colts on the road. So they're 8-2. John, you've got the Eagles after Thanksgiving, home versus Green Bay. This is a Sunday night game against Aaron Rodgers.
We've seen how they look against elite quarterbacks. I think they lose.
They don't generally play well against Rodgers. They did beat him a couple years ago up there on that deflected pass, but he has feasted on the Eagles as he has many teams. Eagles down to 8-3. James, early December, the Eagles host Mike Vrabel, Derrick Henry, and those Tennessee Titans. This is A.J. Brown against his former team.
It's the A.J. Brown revenge game. This is a clear win. It's also Zoe's birthday, so you know they're not going to lose on Zoe's birthday,
wow.
So there we go. So he's turning four. I mean, come on.
All right. So the Eagles beat the Titans. All right, now we go to December 11th.
This is all right.
The Eagles are at the New York Giants. Help me out here, guys. Who's the Giants quarterback at this point? Daniel Jones or who?
Jake Fromm, maybe. I don't know.
Listen, is Boston Scott still on the team?
He is.
Then the Eagles don't lose to the Giants in the Meadowlands because Boston Scott finds a way. Probably someone else has gotten injured. He gets a shot for the first time all year. He scores two touchdowns because he always does against the Giants. Lock it in. Another Eagles victory. John, you've got the Eagles December 18th. Against the Chicago Bears. This should be a Justin Fields Chicago Bears team. John Ritchie, what are you thinking?
I'm actually not. I think they'll win. I don't think it's going to be the slam dunk easy trip that everyone seems to think when they initially look at this schedule. It's a new coach, a new regime. That young quarterback could take a step this year.
John Ritchie, believer in the Eagles, locks in a win against the Bears. James, you've got a Christmas Eve game, 425. At the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, it's a stone cold loss. This is the lossiest loss on the schedule. Okay. Three straight away games, third game. So tough one. On a short week, no less.
We call that coal in Seltzer's stocking right there.
It's my first loss, all right, pal?
All right, now I've got the game home versus New Orleans. Now, this is interesting on New Year's Day. Who's the quarterback? Is it Jameis Winston? Is it Drew Brees? How about that? James, John, how about that Drew Brees news yesterday? For those that missed it, Drew Brees talking about maybe coming out of retirement.
Yeah.
I mean,
play football again, currently undecided on his future.
That was really – because a reporter had reported that he's leaving NBC. Man, oh, man. So that could swing who wins this game without knowing whether Drew Brees will be in this game. Eagles, Saints, I'm going to give the Eagles the W on this one. W at home, January 1st. And, John, you get the final one of the season. January 8th, this is a Sunday. It's home versus the Giants. What do you got?
You know, what's their record right now?
Well, you can consider resting for the bye, but right now they're 12 and 4.
Okay, they're not playing anybody if they're 12 and 4, so they're going to lose.
Hold on, you're not going to probably have the one seed wrapped up.
They're not going to – okay, I'm telling you, I'm just trying to be realistic.
No, you're not. You're trying to be a
problem. If they're 12-4, something went wrong with our methodology here.
I don't like your methodology with this pick.
I'm just trying to even things out.
You're picking the Giants over the Eagles?
And I do think if they've got things, you know, wrapped up, you know, bless our souls.
12 doesn't normally get you the one seed, though.
Okay.
Am I writing down an L?
This team is not a one seed.
Am I writing down an L?
Yes.
All right, I'm writing down the yell. All right.
How many times over the last few seasons have we swept the Giants and the Commies?
I don't know.
Super Bowl year, we did it.
Yeah. Don't have the Ram in my head for all that, but I'm sure it's happened a few times. Nelson Agholor with that catch week one in 2017 against the matter of fact, I can name the four games that year. Week one, Nelson Agholor from Carson Wentz, the first drive of the season was great. Up here, that's when Carson escaped the Houdini play up here. And it's also the game that a couple guys got injured, Jason Peters and Jordan Hicks. Against the Giants, they had the game here week three when Jake Elliott hit the 61-yarder. And then up there, they had the game where the crowd traveled.
Yep.
Foles was the quarterback. They had the stand, the D at the end with the crowd in the end zone, making it hard for Eli Manning to hear in his home stadium. 4-0 that year. See, that's Hammer-esque right there when you can have recall like that.
Okay.
Bottom line is –
That's good. It's good to know. And that was a Super Bowl-caliber team.
Ladies and gentlemen,
easy to do.
The Philadelphia Eagles, according to the wit and wisdom of our show and the knowledge of John Ritchie, who stakes his professional existence around his reputation as a prognosticator of pro football, has the Philadelphia Eagles at 12-5. Lock it in.
Please don't lock that
in. So it was written, so it shall be done. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494.
12-5.
Look, 12 might sound ambitious, clearly, but not impossible, man. This is an easy schedule. If you want the takeaway from what we just did, other than having a little bit of fun and laughing at John's expense a little bit of that from time to time, it is an easy schedule. They really could win. They realistically could win 11 games. It would not shock me.
You know, here's the thing. We all, like, as enthusiastic as we are, I'm thrilled about the way this offseason has gone. As enthusiastic as we feel, we all sort of recognize 12-5
Well, it doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah, that's not legit.
I'm probably going to pick him at 12-5 for whatever.
Yeah, Jen, I don't think you really believe that, James.
Give the case, James. Depending on what's going to happen, I'm at 11 or 12.
And tell me,
schedule's super easy.
Yep, go ahead.
Year two in the Sirianni offense. You know, year two for all these coaches. Last year was their first year as head coach, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, all that stuff. Hurts, the first time he's been in the same offense 2 years in a row. We all agree. We don't know what Hurts is going to be, but we all agree he's going to be better this year, right? Mm-hmm. The weapons around him, the team's better, the defense is better. They won 9 games last year. The schedule's easier. The NFC's easier. Like it.
All right, John, what's your retort?
My retort is why are we are insisting to highlight the fact that this is an easy schedule.
Yep.
So that's all well and good. What happens when this easy schedule gets you to a point where you have to play not easy schedule time?
You tell me the playoffs?
What we saw last year?
Well, that's a different issue.
Easy schedule leads into real schedule. Mm-hmm. We are completely ill-equipped. Now, I think we're better equipped this year. The question is, how much better equipped are we than the 31-0 look that we saw in the playoffs? I don't think it'll be that ugly. I don't think I can say with certainty that we've taken massive steps to where we win that game against the Bucks. It's when the schedule gets real, I still don't know if this team's got it.
All right, 215-592-9494. Everyone can weigh in on the Eagles. You just heard the schedule there. Obviously, it does fare on the easy side for the Birds. Your reaction to us as a show with the 12-5 pick, obviously John's pointed out a reality that things get harder in the playoffs. We get that. You can talk Eagles football in addition to the Sixers and Phils as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, plus Derek Bodner wraps up the Sixers season with us next. That's next. We'll get into all the nitty-gritty of what they can do realistically to spin out of a debacle and try to make it better next year. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Hey, let me tell you about one of my favorite places, Family and Company Jewelers. Trust me, they know a thing or two. My God, do they know a thing or two about diamonds over there. Phenomenal. They've been in business for 85 years, and they've got over 1,800 five-star Google reviews. Angelo and the team, they know what they're doing. They know diamonds. I'm telling you, the showroom, it is something you got to see to believe. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Family and Company Jewelers, exactly where you should go. Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Stop by. Tell them that I sent you. They will take great care of you. If you're thinking about getting engaged, get her the right ring, a ring of her dreams from Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. Well, what a killer end of the 76ers season. And unfortunately, it's like the record is stuck. Seems to happen every year. Twitter poll question of the day, by the way. Do you agree with the Sixers' decision to bring Doc Rivers back for another season? A, yes. B, no. You can vote on that at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's go to our guy who's been with us every single Monday through the basketball season, and this will be his last weekly appearance with us. We'll talk to him in the offseason. But Derek Bodner, of course, has done a tremendous job with us all year long. He's one of the great writers, not only for the Six, you know, covering the Sixers, but anywhere throughout the Delaware Valley. You can follow his work at Derek Bodner NBA and also with the Daily Six newsletter, and we strongly encourage you to get that, the Daily Six newsletter, to follow Derek's work all through the offseason, Mr. Derek Bodner. How you been, Derek?
Oh, you know, I watch the same basketball you guys did. So
indeed.
Not great, but I'm doing good enough,
totally.
I guess.
Derek, without doing a full review, because frankly, I don't think it's really warranted. We all know what we saw. Let's kind of move forward here and try to figure out how they improve the situation. I want to start with James Harden. I said on Friday that I don't want James Harden on the team. Now, if he sticks the Sixers with the $47 million one-year player option, then obviously the Sixers have two choices, to play him or to cut him. Let me just start with this question. If the Sixers do not offer James Harden a contract extension, then do you think James Harden would definitely opt into the $47 million, or would he try to go get $100, $150, $200 million from a different team? What do you think his strategy will be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's getting $150, $200 million from a different team. You know, I think his best play is, even if the Sixers don't offer him a contract, is to take that $47 million, put that in the bank, try to come out and have a better season than he had this year. You know, because then you're looking at it, he just has to get, you know, like 3 years, $20 million per to equal what he might have been able to get on the open market. I think he's going to – it would be shocking for me if he turned down that $47
million. Derek,
Yep, go ahead.
I know you are certainly historically have been a big believer in Daryl Morey. It scares me that he might have an understanding with James Harden, preconceived before Harden played for the Sixers, that I will offer you a multi-year contract. Do you think such a pre-arrangement could come into play here? If it does exist, do you think Daryl Morey will have the guts to pivot off of that based on what James Harden did and how he performed? What is your sense of that whole unique dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's something where at the time of the trade, you expect they had a conversation on both James' willingness to come back and play for the Sixers long-term and the Sixers' interest in having him around. You have to assume it would have been almost malpractice to make that trade without having that conversation. Whether or not he would stick to – whether or not there was, first of all, firm details on what that could have been and whether he would stick to it, you can't. You can't offer him that contract after what we just saw. There's nobody else in the league that's going to be offering him that kind of money. You know, I think if you're Daryl Morey, you sort of say to him, look, opt into that contract. You know, we'll pay you that – not the 6-7 option, but we'll pay you that $47 million. Come back in the best shape you can, and let's see what happens after you get another year removed from that hamstring.
Are you with me, Derek, that they should not offer him a contract? I mean, take a lesser two – lesser per year, 2 year deal. 2 years, $60 million. Should the Sixers offer him that or not?
So why I would consider that is because I think the years are more important than the dollars, because you want to line it up for when Tobias Harris's contract, which has two more years left, ends, and before Tyrese Maxey gets his next contract, which would eat into their cap space. So 2 years I would have some interest in. But to me, it's as much about the years as the dollars. You don't want to go too far beyond that because, like I said, you want to have cap space after Tobias comes off the book and before you extend Maxey. I would have interest in something like that. But look, I think giving him the $47 million and having him have a prove-it year, I think has some pretty real interest too.
This is a quote from Daryl Morey. I think we have flexibility and free agency trade resources that are provided to us, et cetera. Where is this flexibility that Daryl Morey is talking about?
They don't have any. You know, I guess some of that could be like if you get him at 2 years, $30 million, you might have a little more flexibility than if he opts into that $47 million contract. But look, they're at a spot where they have, you know, they're probably going to use a lower mid-level exception because they don't want to get up against a hard cap. They don't want to hard cap themselves. They're not going to use a biannual exception. So you basically have a smaller mid-level minimum salary contracts and a bunch of untradeable contracts. You know, he will say that they have the CBA gives them all this flexibility. They're one of the least flexible teams in the league. And look, can you start doing stuff with trades? And my sense is they're probably going to have their draft pick here because I think Brooklyn's probably going to want to defer that to next year. So they might be able to draft someone with that selection and then trade them. Maybe they can get something for that, but for all teams, they're pretty inflexible. They're pretty inflexible.
What can we realistically expect to get back for Tobias Harris?
I mean, I think the hope is you can – look, you're not going to get a better player. You're not going to get probably any real cap flexibility. I think the hope is maybe taking that contract and getting two or three not great contracts, but just being able to spread that out over multiple players and help fix some of your depth issues. His contract isn't quite as – horrific as it was a couple of years ago, just by virtue of the fact that there's only 2 years left on it. So I think it's going to be easier to move than it otherwise would. But I also don't think you want to take back a contract with 3 or 4 years left on it. So I think you have to be a little bit selective in how you approach that. To me, it would be just distributing that money over two or three contracts. You can help solve some of your depth issues.
It sounds like we're really in a mess. How much of this mess can be directly attributed to the Sixers ownership, i.e. Josh Harris?
I mean, they've been, for a team that has had a bankable star, I've never seen this much instability in an organization. To have five general managers over the course of, and I'm counting Brett Brown in there, but to have five general managers over Joel Embiid's, you know, 7-year career, you have your foundational piece, you have your franchise player, you have your star, and they've still been completely unstable because they've hired, I mean, we don't need to go over everything. They've hired GMs who got fired for using Twitter incorrectly, and they've, you know, promoted a GM who had a year and a half of experience in a front office, and they gave full power to a coach for a brief period of time and enabled a collective group of decision makers where nobody really knew their roles. To have a starting point that they had, and look, ultimately, you do have to give a lot of blame to Colangelo and Brand and even Hinkie and everyone who made these decisions, but they weren't set up in an environment where you would have the kind of stability. Like, look at Miami. You know, Sixers get beat by Gabe Vincent and, you know, Max Strus, players like that. That happens because you have a stable environment where you can, you know, sign Gabe Vincent off the street and develop him over a multi-year period. The Sixers just haven't had that kind of stability at all or any kind of unifying, clear direction. And I think it's hurt them with a lot of these depth issues that we're talking about.
Derek Bodner with us right now. Derek, certainly the Sixers, it sounds as of now, are planning for stability next year in that they're keep the coach. I think it's a mistake. Why do you think Doc Rivers is back? And do you think there is still a glimmer of hope, if you want him out, that Doc will leave on his own to go to the Lakers and that the Sixers know that and want him to walk away so they don't owe him the $24 million?
Yeah. Well, look, if he's not here, I think it will be because he pursued that Lakers job. I don't know if he will. I don't know if the Lakers are interested. But if that's the only real outcome, I think, where he wouldn't be here. You know, I don't know how much of it is the fact they owe him 3 years and $24 million left on his contract. That certainly would be a explanation for it. You know, I could see Josh Harris not wanting to pay that just to tell him to go away. Look, do I think that he is a solution in really any of this? No. I think they have other problems. I'm not even going to say bigger problems because I think he's a problem, but I think they have other problems. So I don't want to put it all on the coach. But I've lost faith that he is a solution as well.
We've gone a couple minutes here, Derek. We haven't even mentioned Embiid other than the passing that they had a centerpiece to build around. There are some out there, I'm not one, who believe the Sixers should pivot off Embiid, trade him now while you can, and just start over. Do you, if you're the Sixers, consider that at all, or is that a non-starter?
No, I mean, that's a, you know, how many MVP caliber players has this franchise ever had?
Yep.
Like, you could list them on one hand.
Yep, four or
that's
five.
Why we're talking
yep.
about, you know, look, that's why so much of this is frustrating, because you thought you had finally, you know, when they acquired James Harden, you thought you finally had a championship caliber running mate to put alongside of him. And you knew that they didn't necessarily have the depth that you would ideally want. You knew that this year was going to be tough because there was so much. They had to learn how to play together on the fly. But I think what's really causing people to panic is you look at James Harden, and now you've lost complete confidence that he is actually that championship-caliber running mate. You thought you finally had something to bank on outside of Joel Embiid going forward, and now you just don't know. And I think that's a lot of the reason why, you know, I could sit here and talk about the depth and how they could overcome that and acquire that even with their limited resources. If James Harden was James Harden, there wouldn't be this level of panic. So, no, I don't think, you know, you can start off a rebuild by trading Joel Embiid and getting some assets while you can. Just getting some assets doesn't guarantee or even give you a good chance of getting an MVP caliber player.
Derek,
Joel Embiid, I think, still has a couple more years of this play in him. You could do whatever you can to build around.
I agree with you. Derek, Bradley Beal's name still comes up. Hey, go get Bradley Beal. Trade a bunch of picks for Bradley Beal. All right, let's tackle this one. Can you please provide clarity for us on what the 76ers are even eligible to trade from a first-round pick standpoint? We know that they've already traded a couple out. As you pointed out, Brooklyn can defer. What is the when of when they can actually trade a first-round pick and how limited those opportunities are?
Yeah, not so they owe their 2022 first-round pick to Brooklyn, which could be deferred to 2023. They also owe a first-round pick to, I think, Oklahoma City still sometime in 2025.
And that's the Al Horford trade?
That is the Al Horford trade. And then they owe a third pick, second one to Brooklyn in 2027. So you really don't have, you know, like I said, you could probably select a player in this draft and then under the agreement that you will then trade him after you sign him. So you have maybe one trade or one pick this year that you can include in a trade. Outside of that, I think you have to go until pretty much 2029 until you get to where you can trade another pick. They do not have very many picks to trade.
And, Derek, the reason for that is you're not allowed to trade picks in consecutive seasons, correct?
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to make a trade which would leave you without having a pick in consecutive seasons. So if they would get another pick back, and right now I don't think they have any first-round picks coming in, but let's say they would make a trade where they would get a 2024 first-round pick, then it would open up the chance because you could then make trades.
Wow.
Which would leave you having a pick.
Derek, do they get any cap relief on the Danny Green situation? He might not ever play again. Serious injury, obviously, surgery. What happens with him cap-wise and flexibility that can be created?
Yep. So he was, first of all, just a brutal injury, and that was very tough to see. And it was honestly tough to watch him because he came into the podium the day after on crutches, and he said he was optimistic that this was only a minor ligament, maybe only LCL, and to find out it was the ACL as well was really tough to see for him. But you know that he did have a, or he does have a non-guaranteed contract for next season. There is a date where the Sixers would have to make that decision by. I'm not 100% sure what that date is, but I would assume it's sometime before the start of free agency. They could clear his entire salary off the books.
Well, that's good. It is a shame if that's the end of his career. Derek, let's wrap with this concept. I'm just going to throw this to you open-ended, take it from here however you want. It's pretty hard for the Sixers to pivot this thing effectively, right?
Yeah. No, they're pretty they're not locked in because you can always move stuff. You saw that with Russell Westbrook over the last couple of years. But they are not – they're pretty locked in, yeah.
And the big fear is always that if the big guy ever wants out.
Yep, that's always the overriding fear. And I, you know, Joel Embiid, I think, has been pretty, you know, pretty loyal. And I don't think he's given any real indication that he's thinking this. But that's always a fear in today's NBA for sure.
How attractive are we? I mean, the rumors about Bradley Beal. Like, if Bradley Beal wants to come here, that's the first step.
You don't have much to give up.
But then everything else kind of. It has to get taken care of, right? In today's NBA, if a star player wants to go somewhere, somehow it's facilitated. Is my head in the clouds on this, Derek? Or is it realistic to expect that this could actually happen?
You know, I mean, go back to Miami and Jimmy Butler and Josh Richardson. Clearly that was not equal value, but it was where he wanted to be. Now, that was a little different because Miami had some cap space where they could have made a couple moves and signed him outright. They did not want to do that, so they had a little bit of leverage in that trade. But yes, stars get to pretty much go where they want to go within reason. The problem is if you know, Bradley Beal says, here are three or four teams I want to go to, and it's not just get me to Philly or nowhere else.
Right. Derek, let me ask one more. I'm going to turn this whole thing inside out a weird way. Would the 76ers be in better shape right now if they had not made the Ben Simmons two draft pick and James Harden trade and Seth Curry and Andre Drummond?
Just keeping Seth Curry and Andre Drummond.
And the two picks.
Yeah. Well, look, there's certainly an argument. Yeah. And look, I think part of this, if James Harden can come back, I do still think there's a little bit of a chance that part of what we saw was hamstring related. So if he can come back with a better year, he certainly makes the Sixers a better team. But in terms of being in a better, more flexible position, there's no doubt that hurt them in that regard.
Derek, it has been, as it is for us every single year, a pleasure to have you on our show every week during the Sixers season. I want to encourage everyone, follow Derek's work at Derek Bodner NBA and also, of course, at the Daily Six newsletter. Derek, thank you so much, man.
Yep, thank you.
All right, there he is, Derek Bodner. I mean, it's not a particularly bright picture. It's really not. Look, they're going to be pretty good. You got Joel Embiid, you got Tyrese Maxey. You have some combination of James Harden and Tobias or whoever.
I feel like it is. It can be so bright if we just continue to hear these, you know, whispers.
Well, there's two things to me it's predicated
that
on.
That a guy wants to come.
Forget all the whispers. I think there's two things it all starts with. Can Joel Embiid be healthy for 2 months in the playoffs, which he's never been? Never been healthy for 1 month. And can James Harden actually turn back the clock and show interest and spunk and skill and effort? And over now multiple seasons he has not. So I think it's bleak as far as championship. It's looking good as far as 50 wins, but let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. You want to react to the Sixers, the Eagles, when we were talking about the schedule earlier this hour, and of course the Phils, who really did have a terrific week out west. Chris in Phoenixville's with us. Hello, Chris.
Hey gentlemen, how you doing today?
Great, Chris.
So a lot since I've been holding, but I think the Phillies, just looking at a couple positives. I'm not a Girardi fan. I think he should have left during the rain delays or rain makeups or whatever. But I think the Phillies have a closer in Francisco Morales. I think he's young and unproven, obviously, but our bullpen's been the problem and the 300-pound elephant in the room for decades now, or since Lidge.
A while at least. By the way, he got sent down, the pitcher you're just talking about.
But I'm looking at what he has stuff-wise.
Sure.
And like I'm not going to compare him to this guy, but when I saw his cutter slider and just his numbers, I think he worked with somebody and his mechanics are pretty consistent now. So his strikeout and his whip and all that good stuff is great, but it's the stuff. You have to look at the cutter that he can almost throw every other pitch like Mariano Rivera used to do and be able to spot it. Now, obviously, he's way away from being that, but, you know, before Mariano was Mariano, he also came up from the minor league system, and they gave him a chance to be the closer. So the guys that we have, I mean, Familia should have never been signed. There's guys that have a makeup that they're going to choke when it's on the road, and he used to choke against the Phillies. So there's just some kind of – there's a mental fortitude that comes with pitching. You know, if everything was based off of velocity, then Vinny Velo would have been in the Hall of Fame, but instead Greg Maddux.
I know. And all right, Chris, give me
a mental fortitude.
Give me a movie. Some would call that testicular fortitude.
Yeah,
give me a movie you'd like to see a sequel of.
I was either going to go with Shawshank Redemption.
Hold on, whoa. You only give me one, so we're putting down Shawshank. You don't get to give me, I'm going to go with one or the other.
Andy and Red and Zewantanehu just hanging out on the beach.
I mean, maybe he's got to start running from the cops and the U.S. government's coming after him in Mexico. You know, then it becomes an international standoff between the U.S. and Mexicans if they capture him.
It feels like it's got a little less, I don't know.
Well, it felt like such
gravity.
A perfect ending to the story. It's like, all right, the story's over there, you know?
Yeah, but I will say tough life. I mean, now you got to be, you know, quiet guy, basically. I mean, you can't get pulled over for
not
having
on a beach.
But back
you know?
In that,
I know.
What year are we talking? What year was Shawshank?
So it's the 50s, I think.
You got a lot less, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing's digital. There's no computers. You
he's
know,
also
it's
still pretty.
To get
he's
away.
Still pretty young, though. I mean, he's not like, hey, let me live out 10 years. I mean, he's got like 40 years to live.
Right.
Plus, he probably wouldn't mind coming back to the U.S. at some point.
Well,
you know, I'm just saying. Let's go to Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, you're on WIP.
Boys, what's up? How are we today?
Doing pretty well, Dan. I feel great about the Phillies. Great.
Yeah, except that's part of my call is. Does it feel like Girardi just like surrenders losses like throughout the season? Just like, yeah, I don't care if I lose. Almost like Doc Rivers has done with the Sixers.
Sometimes, but I don't see yesterday as one of them. Do you?
Yeah, I think he could have had a different lineup in there.
Well, first off, you got the backup catcher who got a big hit. I mean, what do you want him to do? You want Aaron Nola to pitch 140 pitches?
No. But I think Ramuth should have been in there. Great, the backup catcher had a big hit, but you know. Gives up. Like if he lose, he's okay. If I put this in, if we lose, it's fine. We won 3 out of 4. You know what
I
mean?
Think like, sometimes he thinks that. I don't think yesterday is a prime example of that at all. Look, the bottom line is, his team had a 4-2 lead. Excuse me, 4-3 lead. Well, okay, 4-2 going into the eighth, 4-3 going into the ninth,
4-1 prior to that.
4-1 prior to that, the closer blew it.
I know. After getting the two outs.
Not every loss, Dan, is the manager's fault.
No, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying him in general. It's just I can only imagine how many more losses that he's just gonna give up throughout the season. Just because I feel like he thinks baseball is like the NBA now. Like the regular season is not that important.
Well, it is when you haven't made the playoffs in 12 years.
What about the fact that we just I used to dread. These West Coast trips, because I expected we just wouldn't show up at all. Like, that was the trend. The way it used to feel, it was like we'd go out to the West Coast. If we played 7 games, we'd come back 1-6.
Well, part of that is because Dodgers were dominant.
Well,
it's
and
real,
they still are.
I agree.
And we just – the Dodgers were 10-2 at home.
Yeah.
And we just – nearly took 4 from
him. I thought it was really impressive.
Me too.
I did.
And
yeah,
no one says, hey,
just...
Joe Girardi, he had these guys ready.
I agree with you on that.
I think the guys are getting ready. Hey, and as for the Sixers, I did watch the Celtics-Bucks game yesterday. And it's just, to me, it's a different team ball. You know what I mean? Like, you just see them moving the ball. You don't see so much standing around. It's like both teams just look so much different on the floor than we do. You know, it's almost like we don't know what to do with the ball, and these teams are just going out with it. Hmm. And the Eagles schedule, I don't know how my kids are going to feel about Christmas if they lose to the Cowboys on Christmas Eve. I'm going to be like a Grinch. I'm going to be throwing the Christmas tree out. There's going to be big
All right,
stuff.
Dan, give me a movie you want to see a sequel of.
Well, I was thinking about Shawshank, but how about The Breakfast Club? You wonder how they came back the next year as friends and things like that.
All right, The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I like that. I love the high school.
It was only a one-day thing, or is it going to last?
Yeah, not my favorite.
Well, you don't like the movie to begin with.
No, it's below average.
It's below average. It's just not.
It's an irritating
movie.
How
can you say that?
It's just irritating. It's
the breakfast. One of the. I mean, man, that's a movie that defines an era.
Look, John, as
and
someone,
you're saying it's.
Let me explain.
Less than average.
Let me make this really simple for you. As someone who went to Tension a ton, those kids didn't know how to do it right. Trust me. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. With you here on 94WIP. Hey, the playoffs are here. Obviously, down to four more squads now in hoops, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win, and FanDuel has so many ways for you to play. And best of all, when you do win, they'll get you paid fast, real fast. How about this? In as little as 2 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code HAMMER. I tell you promo code HAMMER every day because you'll get the very best deal from FanDuel Sportsbook when you sign up using promo code HAMMER. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs does not win. A spectacular deal with FanDuel Sportsbook when you sign up using promo code HAMMER. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of the NBA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.